Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. A And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light, that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night, and he led me toward the hills and the breaking of day. These are the opening lines of a poem that became very popular in the early days of World War II, a period of global uncertainty and tension, if ever there was one. And although the poem is entitled God Knows, it is more popularly known as The Gate of the Year. For most of us, January serves as the gate of the year. In December, we are so busy with Christmas planning and all the activities that make up the celebration of the season that it's hard to look ahead much beyond New Year's Eve. By contrast, January's pace usually gives us a moment to pause and reflect, as well as to peer a bit into the future and think about what it might hold for us and for the world. Like many gates, it swings back and forth. We can look backward with some retrospection, and we can consider the possibility of intention setting, looking forward, while we mark important dates on our clean new calendars. Now, what I love about the poem that we call The Gate of the Year is that it reminds us that the future is unknowable, and that does not have to make it something we fear. The speaker facing into the unknown future sees only darkness, and so naturally asks for a light to help navigate the way ahead. Instead, though, the speaker is given advice. Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than a light and safer than a known way. Better than light and safer than a known way. We too live in a time of uncertainty and tension, both in the political sphere and also within the church. There's this great book that's been making the rounds for a few years now, and the title says it all, How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going. The writer, Susan Beaumont, is part of a growing number of leadership experts who say that we live in such a liminal, rapidly changing, challenging time that the worst thing a leader can do is create a false sense of certainty. Certainty in a leader can be very reassuring. It can ease anxiety and make for some exciting speeches and rallies. Unfortunately, it can also lead people right off a cliff. To be clear, though, the alternative to certainty is not chaos or apathy, or at least it doesn't have to be. The alternative to certainty is faith. It is stepping out with your hand in the hand of God, knowing how much you don't know, but trusting that God's presence will always be better than a light and safer than a known way. Susan Beaumont's point is that we can find healthy and creative ways to cultivate our faith and strengthen our communities, even in times of radical uncertainty. She points to three shifts in our leadership stance that can help during these times. She says we can go from knowing to unknowing, from advocating to attending, and from striving to surrender. Now, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole of talking about a book that most of you will likely not have had a chance to read yet. So I'll just focus for now on that first shift that she talks about. From knowing to unknowing. In my 14 or so years as a parish priest, I have learned a lot from people who are able to inhabit a healthy stance of unknowing. Often it is a signal of spiritual maturity and even wisdom. It is deeply faithful because it acknowledges the reality of human limitations, not just in general, but as they apply to each one of us personally. It seems plausible to me that one of the reasons Jesus taught in parables was to help us make that shift into this unknowing stance, out of our certainties about right and wrong and a single way to interpret things. Only someone who is comfortable with unknowing is willing to forego the comfort of a known and well-lighted path, and instead simply take God's hand and step out into whatever the future holds. I think this might help us understand what Paul is saying in his letter to the church in Corinth, when he asserts that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. He goes on, "Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him." Paul was not being anti-intellectual. He was a learned and knowledgeable person. But he was concerned that those who relied too much on their knowing would do or say things that might lead other people astray. Knowledge, especially when it calcifies into certainty, can be as much of a crutch as wealth can be. It can create the illusion that we have no need for other people's perspectives and gifts, or maybe even for God. Love, on the other hand, acknowledges our dependence on God and one another. In the final analysis, no human knowledge holds a candle to the gift of being known by God. Shifting our stance from knowing to unknowing is not easy work, and I suspect it is never fully accomplished. As Beaumont says, unknowing requires personal spiritual centeredness and confidence that God will lead if given the opportunity to do so. We might have to take our hands off the steering wheel a little bit. It requires the capacity to challenge long-established assumptions. It takes conviction that collective wisdom will emerge if given an opening to breathe. It requires courage to fail the expectations that others hold of you as the one who fixes their problems. Now, whatever else this year of our Lord 2024 may hold, we know it will hold many opportunities to live into a stance of unknowing. We have in front of us, well, behind me, but in front of you, a concrete illustration of the uncertainties that face us in the form of this scaffolding around the altar. Scaffolding looks solid and certain. It takes up space, and it requires us to move around it, changing the way we do things. Now, though, this scaffolding can also serve to remind us of how much we don't know and give us a chance to practice being okay with that. It was installed so that experts, people with a particular kind of knowledge and skill, can investigate and learn what needs to be done. They're taking down just one segment of the window, one piece of the big picture, and discovering, by doing, what it will take to restore it to wholeness. They will also explore and attend to the reality of the rest of the segments, getting a sense of what needs cleaning, what needs repair, and what might be just fine as is. This work will take time, and it will happen largely out of sight. We don't know what will be discovered. We don't know what work will be recommended to us, or how urgent it will be, or how much it will cost. We will know someday, but right now we don't. We can fret about this and try to come out with certain scenarios and what-ifs and a plan to follow on each. Or we can be patient. We can sit with our uncertainty. We can cultivate a stance of unknowing so that when we do have more information, we will be open to discerning next steps together not wedded to one particular outcome and way of fixing it. Our collective wisdom, given some space to breathe, will undoubtedly find a creative and faithful way forward. If you've looked at our annual meeting reports, you know that they remind us of how much we have to be grateful for in this parish and this community. We faced some challenges that were expected and many that were not. We mourned together during funerals, some that were delayed since COVID. And we celebrated at baptisms, at our anniversary, at a visitation from our bishop, an ordination, and even just some ordinary Sundays that felt extraordinary in their own ways. And so, with that past holding us up, we know we can face the future together with faith, knowing that only love can build us up to be the church God calls us to be. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them the courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation.
We pray for peace in all areas of the world experiencing armed conflict, especially Gaza and Ukraine. For all those affected by natural disasters, especially this week's earthquake in China and the winter storms and extreme cold here in the United States. And we pray for David S., Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, J. B., Kimo and Deb K., Lynn B. and Stefania S., Michael L., Linda and John, Kathy P., Frank and Diane S., Ava, Mary C., Garda J., Carol G., Pat H., Tony C., Catherine C., Pam and Steve S. and their family, Mary H., Jim and Kathy W., and Deacon Virginia McNeely. I invite you to add your own intercessions at this time, either silently or aloud.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and ever-living God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, hear our prayers for this parish family. Strengthen the faithful, arouse the careless, and restore the penitent. Grant us all things necessary for our common life, and bring us all to be of one heart and mind within your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you. Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Thank you for being here for our one service this Sunday as we prepare for our annual meeting. I know there are some of you online joining us as well, and we're always grateful for your participation. There are a couple of things about today that I should probably say. One is that I've been asked to remind you that there are some extra cords up front. They're covered by rugs, but that doesn't mean they're perfectly flat. So if you're walking back, especially on this side, just please do watch your step. We don't want anyone to trip. That is there because right after the service ends, there will be a moment where you all get to go out and grab some food and something to drink. And then when you come back in, we will have set up a screen and we will be ready to start the annual meeting. I hope everyone sticks around for annual meeting today. And we know that there's this thing happening at 3:30. We're gonna be done long before that. And we do have some food to sustain you. We hope it will be a quick and uplifting experience. So that's happening right after church today. There are other things to mention in here. There's a really wonderful music notes for today. If you didn't see those on your in your Friday email, I hope you'll read that. Next Sunday, We have it's our first Sunday of the month, so we'll be doing some things that are a little bit different. And one of the things is I'm encouraging people to bring in a candle from home. There's an old church tradition called Candlemas, and we're going to be exploring that during our first Sunday service. So bring a candle with you so that we can bless those and send them out. Most of the rest of what's going on in here is about stuff happening during Lent, because we are almost to that time of year. I know we just had Christmas, I'm positive. Well, I missed a couple Sundays in there, so that probably doesn't help with feeling discombobulated. But there really is some wonderful stuff going on during Lent. We've got good plans in place, so take a look at that. And one other thing next Sunday is the celebration of Abraham. Many of you will remember that Celebration of Abraham is a multi-faith, interfaith organization that started sometime after 9/11 and in Davis as a local response to that global tragedy. And for several years now, they have not met in person, but they're back to an in-person gathering. So if you're able to do that next Sunday, though, the information is in here. Do we have celebrations and milestones today? We do.
We do. We have at least one birthday. Bartolome, Mateo.
Oh,
celebrated
excellent.
A birthday this week.
Wonderful. And yes.
It's Mark's birthday today.
It's Mark's birthday today, and you're spending it at annual meeting. I love that. I love that. So some good birthdays. Wonderful. Well, let us turn to page 6 and say the celebrations and milestones prayers together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I noticed Joni standing back there. Are you an usher? You are an usher. So if this is your first Sunday or one of your first Sundays here, we won't make you raise your hand to introduce yourself, or, we're Episcopalians, so we try to not embarrass anybody. But we do, if you do raise your hand, you will get a goodie bag. So this is the time to do that. Yes. Yeah.
That it is my dear wife's 83rd birthday.
Oh.
I should never forget that. We got married on her birthday 59 years ago.
Today?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday. Oh, well, still.
Sorry.
Wonderful. No, that's great. So we have another birthday and a big anniversary to celebrate as well. So congratulations and happy birthday. Oh, that's, I was like, I'll give you a goodie bag if you want one, but I know you're not new here. We're probably mostly used to how we're doing communion now. We haven't changed it too much in spite of moving the altar forward. So still two stations. You get to come down the middle and then choose which side. One side is for intinction with the host and the wine, and one side is where the host and the chalice are separate. Again, just be careful on your way back around because of the little rugs on the floor. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with all the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray first in Spanish and then in English. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
In unto us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
In unto us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
The bread which we break, alleluia, is the communion of the body of Christ.
In unto us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
One body are we, alleluia, for though many we share one bread.
In unto us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Life is short. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.